Okay, this week's parasha is parasha Vayakel. It also happens to be parasha Shkolim. Parasha Shkolim is the first of the four parashas that we have special, which surround Purim and prepares for Pesach. Right, that's where we're holding Baruch Hashem. This Shabbos is Shabbos Mevorachim Adar Sheni already. Right? Shabbos Shkolim, unbelievable. Oh. Next Thursday is Rosh Chodesh Adar Sheni. Unbelievable Tova. Towards the end of the parasha of Vayakel, the Torah introduces us for the first time to the makeup, the special material that was used for one of the kelim of the Mishkan, which is namely the kior. What was the kior? The kior was a basin, a water basin. What was the water basin used for? Before the Kohanim would go do the avodah, they would wash their hands and their feet. The Torah says that the kior was made, listen carefully, Rabbi Maros Hatzovos Asher Tzavu Pesach Olam Moed. What does that mean? It means as follows. It means there were mirrors brought. Mirrors were brought to the Olam Moed. We'll see in a minute who brought these mirrors. And what happened was, the mirrors were made into the kior, and the kior was used daily, filled with water, and daily used for the Kohanim to prepare themselves for the avodah that was done in the Beis HaMikdash in the Mishkan. But the obvious question is, where these mirrors come from? Who brought the mirrors? So you'll see in Rashi, Rashi quotes the Medrash Tanchuma. Happened to have the Medrash Tanchuma over in front of him. It's an amazing Medrash, a remarkable Medrash. I'm going to share with you just a few parts of this beautiful Medrash. Listen carefully, because the Medrash actually says more than what Rashi quotes. The Medrash says as follows. The Medrash says, listen carefully, as follows. I'll skip towards the end of the Medrash. These maros came from the following places. You see, in Mitzrayim, the men worked very, very hard. Mamas worked to the bone. The last thing they could think about after a very long day of backbreaking labor was to be able to have children. They simply had no strength left. How are they going to be able to have children? And yet we know that during that time, what happened? They had many children. Chazal teaches they had six at a time. How did that go? How did that go down? How did they have so many children without any koach? They were worked mamish beaten to the pulp. The Medrash says it was in the merit of the women, the tzaddikas women. What they do? The Medrash here describes an amazing thing. They would go down to the Nile River, the Medrash, I'm paraphrasing, and they would draw water. Hashem would make a miracle, and they would have fish. Little fish would come into their pitchers, and they would sell the fish. They would cook the fish, and they would get wine. And they would go to the field, and they would give some fish and some wine to their husbands in the field. Once they ate and drank, says the Medrash, they would take these mirrors. They would take mirrors with them, and they would look in the mirror with their husbands. And they would have the following debate with their husbands. She would say to her husband, I'm better looking than you are. And he would say back to her, no, I'm better looking than you are. Can you imagine this debate between husbands and wives in the mirrors, in the middle of Mitzrayim? Says the Medrash, because of that, they're able to have the desire to have children. And they had children right away. How many did they have? Many children. You fast forward now to the Mishkan. Hashem says, bring the stuff in the Mishkan. So guess what happens? All of Bnei Yisrael brings their stuff to the Mishkan. Someone brings gold, silver, copper, beautiful stones. Everyone brings it quickly. The women say, what's left for us to bring to the Mishkan? You know what they bring? They bring their mirrors. They bring their mirrors. And they come with their mirrors to Moshe Rabbeinu and say, Moshe, we also want to go into the Mishkan. Says the Medrash, Moshe sees these mirrors, he gets angry at them. Listen to what he says. This is not a Rashi, but this is the Medrash. The Medrash says, Moshe says to them, take sticks and break their thighs. Break their legs. Break their legs. What is this? You're bringing mirrors that were used for that kind of behavior? The Mishkan, there's no place for that over here. This is a Mishkan, this is a holy house of God. You're bringing these mirrors in. Says Hashem to Moshe. Says Hashem. Amar LaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe. Moshe. Al Eila Atam Vaza. You're disgracing these mirrors. No. These mirrors were responsible for the Jewish people surviving in Mitzrayim. Take them and make the kior, the basin out of them. The Kohanim will use these mirrors, and whenever they come in to the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan, they'll use these mirrors, and that's going to be the place for what? For the mirrors of the Mishkan. Unbelievable Medrash, no? Unbelievable Medrash. Chevron. Let's try to understand what the Medrash is teaching us. What does this mean to me? What's the purpose of this Medrash? There are many lessons that we can take this Medrash. What is the following? You see, in life, we think, sometimes, mistakenly, that there's ruchnius and gashmius, that there's physical and there's spiritual. And the physical is for the physical, and the spiritual is for the spiritual. The spiritual is in the Beis Medrash, the spiritual is in the shul, where you daven, the spiritual is when you're in sheer learning, that's the spiritual. I'm a physical, and I go out to a restaurant, When I play sports, when I run, when I go on vacation, that's the physical. We sometimes distinguish and separate between physical and spiritual. And that's a big mistake. In Yiddishkeit, it's not like that. Moshe Rabbeinu says, come on, these, what do they have to do with the Mishkan? The Mishkan is a spiritual edifice. The Mishkan is a spiritual structure. It's all about ruchnius. Truth is gold and silver there, but it's pure gold and silver. It's not gold and silver. It's used for behavior like this, to encourage husbands and wives to have children. How can that be? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, you're missing the boat, Moshe Rabbeinu. This is the Mishkan. You know what the Mishkan is? The Mishkan is taking all of the gashmias in the world and elevating the gashmias to a higher level. You see, you know what we just had now before we had our Parsha Shmuz? Nashim Nigin. What's Nashim Nigin? This regular bag of Doritos is not regular, it's full of very, very cool. This bag of Doritos, this bag of Doritos, if it wasn't part of Nash Negan, wouldn't have any special chashivas. Come on in. And in a few minutes. Three to come and join us. If it wasn't part of Nash Negan, so it would just be gashmias, pure gashmias. But the goal of Avodas Hashem is to try to fuse the ruchnius and the gashmius, to try to elevate the gashmius, and to say that, you know, even in the gashmius, even in what seems to be something which is totally, totally physical, there's room for spirituality. When the Rambam talks about the laws of Ishus, right? That's in our religion, under the chuppah, when you give your wife a ring one day, you're going to say to your wife, Harei At, what's the next word you're going to say to her, Harei At? Mekudeshes. Mekudeshes. What does Mekudeshes mean? What's the root word Mekudeshes?
Kadosh.
Kadosh. What's Kadosh? You're getting married, that's Kadosh? The answer is yeah. Our understanding of marriage is Kedusha. It's called Kedusha. The Masechta about marriage, a physical act, seemingly physical act. The title of the Masechta is called Kedushin. Unbelievable. Kedushin. It's about Kedusha. Yeah, because in our religion we have the ability to take physical items and elevate those physical items, and that's the whole goal of our Avodas Hashem. It's not separation of church and state. Yeah, there's religion, which is church and state and policy, and there's no connection. No. There's no such thing as that in our religion. Our religion is about fusion of the ruchnias and the gashmias. Rabosai, every single day when the Kohen would come into the Avodah, the Beis HaMikdash, they would wash their hands and feet by the Kiyor, and they'd be reminded of this fundamental idea, which is that we're meant to go ahead and fuse the Ruchnius and the Gashmius. I wanted to share one other point that we take from the Kiyor. Besides the fusing of the Ruchnius and the Gashmius, besides that point, there's another point. Rabosai, I'm going to tell you one thing. Listen carefully. This is a very, very important lesson from the Kiyor as well. You know, I imagine the first day of the Mishkan, when it was opening day, on the first day of Nisan, when it opened up, was probably really exciting. I imagine the second day also was exciting, and the second month also was exciting. But you know what? After a while, you know what can happen? A person can lose their enthusiasm. You know, the first day of this month was really great, but like now it's 5 months in, Rabbi, I'm already tired. You know, I don't got so much koach. I don't got so much left in the tank, Rabbi. Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Haba. Kansu, kansu, kansu. Shekansu, kansu. It's okay, it's fine, it's fine. Don't worry about it. Come in. One final word. Without making a minute. One final word from the Kiyor. The Kiyor was, we mentioned, but, come on in. The Kiyor was, was made by the mirrors. The mirrors that were given to the Mishkan by the women who used these mirrors to inspire Bnei Yisrael to be able to continue to have children.
Amen.
So the first day of the Mishkan is very exciting. Everyone comes to the Mishkan, everyone's pumped. The second day everyone's pumped. And after a while everyone's drained. It's a long zman. 5 months go by, 6 months go by. Ain't the koach. I'm too tired. I don't have nothing left to take. And then what happens? You walk into the Mishkan and you wash your hands and feet by the Kiyor. And it reminds you of the women. The tzaddikus who said, you know what? We're not going to fall for this. We're not going to say, I'm too tired, I don't have koach. We're not going to say, we're lost. We're in Egypt and we're suffering and we're in pain and we have so much challenge. We have no more koach left. So whatever happens, happens. No. It was their unbelievable mysterious nefesh of these women that caused Bnei Yisrael to survive throughout the generations. And every single day, the Kohen would walk into the Kiyor. We have a Kohen in the room, at least one Kohen in the room. The Kohen would walk to the Kiyor. And at least two Kohen in the room. The Kohen would go to the Kiyor and say, you know what? I might be tired right now. I may not feel so much koach right now, but you know what? I look at the Kiyor, I'm reminded of the mysterious nefesh of these women, these nashim tzidkaniyos, who biskusam, in their merit, Klal Yisrael survived, and Klal Yisrael thrived, and Klal Yisrael grew, even in the most challenging of times, and that would inspire the Kohen to do their avodah with unbelievable chizuk and strength. This is the message, another message of the Kiyor. That even sometimes when the going gets tough, and a person is not feeling so much, you draw on inspiration, an inspiration of those that came before us, of those that have paved the way for us to help us in our quest of Avodas Hashem. Two very, very important lessons that emerge from the Kiyor. Have a wonderful Shabbat.